Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
I think for a lot of new people who come to the show, Neil, they've heard of you, but your story when you were down and out is one of the most gifted and unbelievable stories I've ever heard. Would you relate that to us again, just what you went through, the homelessness, and then how the Conversations with God book came about?
Sure, I'd be happy to, George. It began with an accident. I had an automobile accident in which I broke my neck. An elderly gentleman turned in front of me in his car and smashed into me. He misjudged how far away I was from him, and he wanted to make a left turn, and he made a left turn right in front of me. And we had a terrible crash, and I broke my neck in the accident.
Oh, jeez.
It's amazing because the doctor said, and by the way, it wasn't a hairline fracture. We're talking about a 3/4 inch avulsion fracture of the 7 cervical vertebrae posteriorly. I remember the exact wording on the report. And that's a fracture in your neck big enough to put a pencil through. So the doctor looked at me when it was all over, and they had me braced up and my neck, taken care of. The doctor looked at me and he said, I can't even imagine why you're still alive. Most people who suffer a broken neck, snapped as bad as yours was, die instantly, or at the very least they're paralyzed. They have some, I didn't have either outcome. But I did have a problem. I had to wear a neck brace for a year and a half because the doc said, look, think of a bowling ball on the head of a pin. That's about what's going on right now. Your neck can't support your head. So you got to wear this Philadelphia collar. It's a therapeutic device, and you can't take it off, not even to sleep, not even to shower. You will keep it on. You hear my words, he said, you'll keep this thing on 24 hours a day until I tell you you can take it off. It was a year and a half later. Well, I was out of work. I couldn't get a job anywhere. No one would hire me. I'd walk in and try to get a job, and they would look at me with this brace on my neck and say, you're a walking insurance claim, so we can't hire you. So I couldn't get a job even as a stock boy at a local grocery store. I mean, it was nothing I could do. And pretty soon I ran out of money, and I wound up losing my apartment, losing the place I was living in. I had already lost my relationship, not because of the accident. That was a separate incident. Mm-hmm. So now I was without a home, without a place to live, and I wound up living on the street, on the sidewalk. And that didn't go on for a couple of bad weeks or a couple of rough months. I was out there on the street as a street person for a year, 2 weeks shy of 1 year.
I mean, were you one of those guys holding a sign saying, you know, please feed me and things like that?
Yeah, I didn't have a sign like that, but I did walk the streets for the better part of a year, and I would simply walk up to people and ask them. I learned how to just simply say, look, I'm a little down and out on my luck. Is there anything you could offer me? You know, even a few coins, or actually a couple of quarters. If I got 2 quarters from everybody that I asked today, I could get a meal into my stomach, because I would wake up in the morning and not have a nickel to my name. I mean, and it was an interesting way to live. So yeah, I didn't have a sign, but I didn't smell so good. Mm-hmm. My hair was down to the middle of my back. Obviously, I couldn't afford a haircut. There was no place I could shower. I went to a campground, a local campground, and they did have a public shower there, but it cost like 50 cents or whatever it was, and that's big money when you have nothing.
So, that's right. That's right.
So, you know, there I was, and then finally I got a job at a local radio station. Actually, I had been a talk show host, and I had been on the radio for years, but as luck would have it, in the same year that I had this accident, the station that I was on doesn't speak very highly of my show, but station went bankrupt.
Oh, jeez.
It was a local radio station, so I lost my job. Now, here I am, no job, no house, no place to live, no income. And, you know, but I finally did get a job at a different little radio station. I walked in, they remembered me from the place I had worked before. And they said, oh, you're still around? Yeah. I said, yeah. So they gave me a weekend gig. It wasn't a big gig, but they needed a weekend fill-in guy. So I had a weekend gig, and I was making, like, in those days, we're talking 25 years, 30 years ago, but I was making like $50 a weekend, $200 a month.
That was a lot then.
I was going to say, it's a little bit more than it sounds like, because that's 25, 30 years ago. Nevertheless, it wasn't exactly a really sweet salary, but I was able to sneak by, and I got a little tiny little one-bedroom, a place to live in. And then that's when I had my experience, however, because, you know, I was waking up in the middle of the night thinking, now, wait a minute, let me see if I get this straight. I'm 50 years old. I was 49 to be exact, but I'll be 50 in a couple of months. And this is how it is with me. This is what's going on. I got a weekend job, just enough to pay the rent and put some groceries on the shelf. I should. You're not going to believe this, George, but at the same time, I had my car stolen.
Oh, God.
I am not kidding. It was a triple whammy. Yeah, I walked outside, you know, and my car was gone. And I went to the police, and I said, hey, you know, and they laughed at me. They said, well, when was the last time you saw it? I said, well, last night when I parked it. And they said, oh, man, that was like 8 hours ago. By now, the thing's been parted out. You could forget about that.
Gosh.
It's gone. So I was on foot. And I didn't have.
And we didn't have Uber in those days.
No, they sure didn't. Not that I could have afforded it, but they didn't have it. So now here I am, and I'm sitting in my little one room flat, and I'm just really angry. It's 2:30 or 3:30 in the morning. I'm furious, and I wake up and I start writing on a yellow legal pad a really angry letter to God. Okay, you know, enough. What does it take to make life work? What have I done to deserve a life of such continuing struggle, one thing after the other? You know, tell me the rules. I remember writing, these are the exact words I wrote. I was writing so deep on the yellow legal pad, you could have read it 5 or 6 pages deep just from the impression on the page, on the tablet. I'm writing, okay, tell me the rules. What are the rules? How does the game go? Because, and by the way, after you give me the rules, don't change them, because my experience is that everything was changing you know, from minute to minute. And so I'm just writing. I don't even know who I'm writing to. I'm just writing this thing. I had this idea. I'm going to write a letter to God. But, you know, it was just really a form of self-therapy. I experienced it as just taking journaling in my own little notebook on my yellow legal pad there. But that's when I heard a voice. I actually heard a physical voice over my right shoulder. I turned around. There was no one there, of course. And I thought, oh, this is great.
And this wasn't that little voice in the head, was it?
No. I honestly, George, I honestly thought I heard a voice in the room. Obviously, there wasn't anybody in the room, but I thought that I heard a voice in the room. It was every Everything in my life convinced me there was a voice there. And the voice simply said, very kindly, Neil, do you really want answers to all of these questions? Or are you just venting? And I remember laughing. I was guffawing. I was like, I said, you think? I said, yeah, I'm venting. But if you have some answers, I'd sure as hell like to know what they are. And then came back to me. And now the voice kind of went inside my head. It took the form of thoughts in my mind. And the very next communication was, you are sure as hell. Well, wouldn't you rather be sure as heaven? And I said, okay, what's that supposed to mean? And then I began having this little two-way conversation with this voice in my mind. And I began taking notes. I mean, I actually wrote down what I was hearing in my head. And I wrote down what I was asking as well. I began asking these same questions. What does it take to make life work and what's going on? And I began getting answers. And before I knew it, George, I was involved in a question-answer experience on that yellow legal pad. Question-answer, question-answer, question-answer.
That's something. And when you had enough, what made you decide to put it into book form?
I was invited to, in the conversation itself, it said, you will make of this one day a book. And I thought, yeah, of course. But then I thought, now I gotcha. Because that was the one thing that I was, I want to say, receiving, to use that phrase. It was the one piece of information that was coming to me that was measurable. It was a measurable outcome. Everything else, you know, was theoretical, conceptual in nature, could be, could not be, who would know. But here was a statement that was measurable. You will make of this one day a book, and it said, and it will be read, accessed by many people. And I thought, we'll see about that. No one's going to publish this. So, in fact, I took my handwritten notes, had them Xeroxed, and sent off to a publisher. And, you know, I could imagine, you know, I was laughing as I did it, because I could just imagine the guy going out to the workroom floor and saying to his editors, hold the presses. I got a guy here who's talking to God.
And we're going to publish his book.
Yeah. You know, but I knew it wasn't going to happen. There wasn't a chance in the world.
Was that Hodder Stoughton?
No, it was Hampton Roads.
Hampton Roads did it, okay.
Yeah, small little publishing house on the East Coast in Virginia, a guy named Robert Friedman. But you know what? If the phone didn't ring, whatever it was, a week and a half or 2 weeks later, and he says, this is Bob Friedman with Hampton Roads Publishing, you sent us your manuscript. I said, well, yeah, I don't really think of it as a manuscript. I did send you my notes. He said, we want to put this thing out. I said, you're kidding me.
Wow.
He said, no. He said, it's fascinating. And at the very least, it's going to be an interesting book. And he said, we're just kind of leery about the title you put on it, Conversations with God. You know, it's going to push a lot of people away. We think it's a pushback. Can you give it a different title? And I said, you know, Mr. Friedman, no. We're either going to call it exactly how I experienced it, or we're not going to publish the book. And he said, well, okay, we'll see what happens. And they put the book out. You know, within 5 weeks, it was on a New York Times bestseller.
How did that happen, by the way? I mean, was there major promotion behind it? Did you go on a book tour? What happened?
He sent the book to every New Thought church. He had a list of New Thought churches. His publishing house had a list of New Thought churches in the country. And so he sent one copy to the pastor of every one of those churches and invited them to put it on the book table. And, you know, after service, you sometimes go to the fellowship hall, mingle with some of the people in the congregation, maybe take a little browsing moment at the book table. And my book was out there, Conversations with God. And they couldn't keep them in stock. It was flying off the table.
My God!
So they were ordering more copies and ordering more copies. And when he saw what was happening, he couldn't keep it in stock. He had to get a reprint. And so when he saw what was happening, he began to really promote it in other ways, sent copies to the major newspapers, the L.A. Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, people became aware of it very quickly. And it became an instant bestseller. and it is unbelievable that it was on the bestseller list for about 135 weeks.
Yeah,
that's
unheard of.
It was unheard of for a nonfiction book. Fiction books sometimes do that, but nonfiction books, very, very unheard of. And it made what they say, you know, publishing history.
You've got now 39 books out there?
Yes, sir. I just published my 39th book a few months ago.
With The God Solution?
It's called The God Solution. And it is, in my mind, it's the culmination. It's not a dialogue book. It's not a part of the so-called dialogue series. There are 9 dialogue books and then 30 other books that extrapolate from that, that expand on the message and that explore more deeply its concepts. And The God Solution is, I consider, probably my last book. 39 is enough, but it's the culmination, really. It just takes everything that has been said in that dialogue and brings it to a place where the average person can pick it up and go, oh, I get it. I see what's going on. This is the God Solution. That is, this is the solution to the problems that humanity is and has been facing for a very long time.
Does it seem to you, Neil, that everything is topsy-turvy? I mean, everything just seems to be all screwed up.
We are in an upside-down world right now in many, many, many ways. And it's there's a reason for it, I think. But yes, of course, everything is all screwed up, to put it mildly. And we don't seem to know how to put Humpty Dumpty back together again. That's what's really frustrating as I watch it from a distance. And that's why I wrote The God Solution, because The God Solution asks an interesting question, George. The book starts off with a series of 3 questions. If there really is a God, and who knows? But if there really, truly is a God, why is the world such a mess? And why has it always been? I mean, it's not just recently. In one way or another, we've had a tough time on this planet for a long, long time, for millennia,
yep,
for hundreds of thousands of years. So, you know, what's the point? That was my third and last question at the beginning of the book. What's the point of having a God or a belief in God when we can't seem to make life work here on the planet? What's the use of it? And then the book turns around and offers an answer to that question.
Yeah, you're not questioning your belief in God. That's not happening to you, is it?
No, no.
Not at all.
Questioning. No, I'm just asking, what have we missed here? By the way, it's not just my belief in God, I should point out. 8 out of 10 people have a belief in some kind of controlling power. Surveys have been taking over the past 25 years, and even in the past 3 or 4 years, surveys around the world, not just in Western cultures, but all over the planet, in every culture on the planet. And the surveys show essentially the same outcome. 8 out of 10 people believe in some kind of controlling power. But they just can't agree. We can't agree on what's true about that controlling power. What is it? What does it want? How does it work? Can we use it in any possible way? You know, what happens if we don't do what it wants? So we can't resolve the questions that have arisen out of our belief in that controlling power. And that's why, in my view, the world is the way it is. I believe that if we came to a global understanding and a sense of agreement, at least among the larger number of us, obviously we're not going to get everybody to agree, but if we had an agreement among the larger number of us, I believe the world could change and could resolve the problems that we are faced with.
I think so, too. I really do.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health 8 kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health 8 Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say free this week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, is finally here.
With the first pick in the NFL Draft.
Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit.
They're looking to get a guy that they believe can change the game.
With NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.